Have you ever stopped and, noticed how numbers seem to have these hidden rules? Like, what if they could actually tell us secrets? Secrets about, say, the petals on a flower or even the rhythm in a song?
Absolutely.
Well, today we're doing a deep dive into exactly that, the fascinating properties of numbers. Our whole mission here is to give you a kind of shortcut to being really well informed about the surprising patterns and, honestly, the clever secrets these numbers hold.
That's right. We're essentially opening up a chapter that gets right down to the fundamental nature of numbers. We'll be focusing in quite a bit on even and odd numbers,
Okay.
what they actually mean, their definitions, how they behave, and maybe why these really simple-sounding properties are, well, incredibly powerful.
And it gets even more interesting, doesn't it? Because we'll also explore some really clever number puzzles. Stuff like magic squares, those ancient things, and also cryptorhythms, which require some serious logic.
Definitely. And then there are these special number sequences that just pop up in the most unexpected places, like the Virahanka Fibonacci numbers. And the real power here, I think, isn't just memorizing definitions. It's seeing how these concepts, kind of quietly, support so much of our world.
How so?
Well, think about technology. Error detection in, say, digital data, that relies heavily on parity checks. A single bit flips, an even number suddenly looks odd, and bam, error flagged.
Huh. I didn't realize it was that direct.
Oh yeah, or how those Virahanka Fibonacci sequences, they actually help optimize algorithms in computer science. They make searches faster, data structures more efficient. It really boils down to boosting your critical thinking, your problem-solving skills, maybe in ways you wouldn't immediately expect.
Okay, that makes sense. So to sort of kick things off then, get our
Uh-oh.
brains warmed up a bit, here's a quick one for you listening. Can you divide, say, 15 chocolates equally between two friends without breaking any, of course?
Tricky.
What about 12 chocolates? Pretty
Yeah.
easy, right? So what does that simple difference tell you about the fundamental nature of 15 versus 12?
Yeah, that question gets right to the heart of what mathematicians call parity. It's this idea of evenness or oddness. We all kind of get it intuitively, right?
Sure.
But it's their precise mathematical definitions and how predictably they behave when you add or subtract them. That's what really shows their underlying structure. Parity just describes if a number splits perfectly by two or if it always leaves that little remainder of one.
Right. And it's that perfect divisibility, no remainder, that defines an even number. Any integer you can divide by two cleanly. And this is important, zero absolutely counts.
Yes, that trips people up sometimes.
It does. But zero divided by two is zero, no remainder. So mathematically speaking, zero is definitely even.
Exactly. And conversely, an odd number is just an integer that does leave that remainder of one when you divide by two. It's that single leftover bit that makes it odd. Odd numbers are basically always just one step away from an even number, plus or minus one.
Quite elegant, isn't it? We can even write them using algebra. Any even number is 2, Ken, where n is just any integer.
Right?
So if n is like 10, you get 20, which is even. And for odd numbers, it's 2m minus 1, or 2n plus 1 ones. If n is 5, 2m minus 1 gives you 9. Odd. And this isn't just, textbook stuff. It helps us generalize, see the bigger patterns. That's where the real insight is.
And what's really intriguing is seeing what happens when you do basic things like adding and subtracting them. Take two even numbers, add them together, the result, always even.
Like 4 plus 6 is 10, even.
Right. It's like combining two perfectly paired sets, the result is still perfectly paired.
Okay, now this one often gets a double take. If you add two odd numbers, the sum is also always even.
Yeah, sounds weird at first, isn't it?
It does. But think about it. Each odd number has that one left over.
Yeah.
So when you combine them, those two leftovers pair up, making the total perfectly paired again. Like 3 plus 5 is 8, definitely even.
Exactly. And if you mix them, an even plus an odd always results in an odd number.
Right, because you have one complete set and one with a leftover, so the total still has that single leftover. 4 plus 3 equals 7. Odd.
And the same logic works perfectly for subtraction, too. Even minus even is even. Odd minus odd, also even. And even minus odd is odd.
It's amazing how consistent these rules are.
Yeah.
And building on that, think about consecutive numbers like 11 and 12 or 20 and 21. One's always even, one's always odd.
Always.
And because of that, their sum has to be odd, right? Following the rule we just said, 11 plus 12 is 23. Odd. And this whole idea of parity, it's incredibly old. Early humans dealing with quantities, then studied deeply by the ancient Greeks, the Pythagoreans, way back like 500 BCE.
And not just the Greeks. We see these ideas explored centuries ago by brilliant Indian mathematicians too, like Pingala and Aryabhata. It's truly foundational.
Yeah, it really is.
And it's incredible how these foundational insights then become, well, the keys to unlocking more complex stuff like puzzles and challenges. We use this logical thinking, this understanding of parity, to tackle these numerical brain teasers.
Okay, so we've got this foundation of even and odd logic. Let's see how these patterns become, like you said, building blocks for some fun numerical puzzles. First up, grid puzzles.
Ah, yes.
These really test your ability to arrange things and check sums, right? Putting numbers in a grid, like a square, following rules about, say, what the rows or columns add up to.
Exactly. And speaking of grids, some have this almost mystical feel to them. Magic squares?
Right.
A magic square is basically a grid where every cell has a different number. But the cool part is the sum of every row, every column, and even the mean diagonals, it's all exactly the same. That sum is the magic sum.
And these weren't just games, were they? Ancient cultures saw them as symbols of, like, perfect order, balance, maybe even something spiritual.
For sure. The oldest one we know is the Loshu Square from ancient China. It's just a little 3x3 grid, uses numbers 1 through 9, and its magic sum is always 15.
15. How does that work?
Well, the numbers 1 to 9 add up to 45. Since there are 3 rows that all have the same sum, you just divide 45 by 3. It gives you 15. And interestingly, the number 5 is always right in the center of that 3x3 square. It's just mathematically elegant.
Wow. Okay, moving from grids to something a bit different, cryptorhythms or alphametics.
Yes, alphametics. These are those puzzles where digits 0 to 9 are swapped out for letters.
Right.
Each letter stands for a unique digit. The goal is to crack the code, figure out which letter is which digit to make the whole mathematical equation work, like an addition problem written in letters.
And there are rules, right? Like the first letter of a word can't be 0.
Correct. Can't have leading zeros, and no 2 different letters can be the same digit.
These really make you think like a detective, don't they? You're hunting for little clues, like maybe there's a carryover from one column to the next, or you use parity if you see, say, A plus A equals B. Well, B must be an even digit.
Exactly. You work column by column, usually from right to left, building on what you deduce.
I remember seeing that famous one, send plus more equals money. Trying to solve that. It's such a great mix of logic and just number sense, almost like a game.
It absolutely is. And then beyond puzzles, we have these special number sequences. They show these incredible hidden mathematical structures that just appear everywhere. The Virahanka Fibonacci sequence is probably the most famous example.
Okay, tell us about that one.
So in this sequence, each number is simply the sum of the 2 numbers that came right before it. If you start with, say, 1 and 2, the sequence goes 1, 2, then 1 plus 2 is 3, then 2 plus 3 is 5, then 3 plus 5 is 8, 13, 21, 34, 55. And it just keeps going.
And what's really amazing is where this sequence came from, isn't it? It wasn't Fibonacci originally.
That's a crucial point. It was actually described in detail much earlier by Indian mathematicians, people like Pingala, maybe as far back as 300 BCE, and definitely Virahanka around 700 CE. They were looking at patterns in, of all things, Sanskrit poetry combinations of long and short syllables.
Wow, poetry.
Yeah. Leonardo Fibonacci introduced it to the Western world much later, in 1202, which is why it often just gets called the Fibonacci sequence. But really calling them Virahanka Fibonacci numbers is much more accurate, acknowledging those deeper, diverse roots.
That's really important context. And these numbers, they aren't just, you know, abstract math concepts.
Not at all. That's the mind-blowing part. They show up in nature constantly.
Like where?
Okay, look at the arrangement of leaves on a plant stem, how they spiral. Or the way trees branch, the spirals of seeds on a sunflower head. The number of spirals going one way and the other way are usually consecutive Virahanka Fibonacci numbers.
Oh, wait.
Yes. And even the number of petals on many flowers. Daisies often have 13, 21, or 34 petals. Lilies have 3. Buttercups have 5. All numbers from the sequence. It's almost like nature is using this mathematical blueprint.
That's incredible. It connects to art, too, right? The golden ratio.
Precisely. The ratio between consecutive numbers in the sequence gets closer and closer to the golden ratio, which artists and architects have used for centuries, because it creates proportions that we find aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
You can even find hints of these ratios and sequences in music, maybe in how melodies are structured or rhythms are built. And there's a classic problem-solving use, too, figuring out how many ways you can climb stairs if you take 1 or 2 steps at a time. The answer often follows these numbers.
It really shows how deeply these patterns are woven into everything, doesn't it? Our sense of order, beauty.
It really does. It's a testament to the underlying mathematical structure of the world.
So, okay, let's recap our journey here. We started with something really basic, but fundamental. Parity. that even-odd distinction, and how predictable they are when you add or subtract.
Right, those core rules.
Then we moved into the logic needed for grid puzzles, the sort of historical charm of magic squares, the deduction skills for cryptorhythms.
Mm-hmm, putting the logic to work.
And finally, we explored that incredible Virahanka Fibonacci sequence, just popping up everywhere from nature to art. It really drives home how these hidden rules are, well, constantly operating around us.
It's a fantastic reminder, I think, that mathematics is just so much more than rote calculation. It's genuinely a powerful tool for understanding the world around us.
Yeah.
And for building critical thinking skills, too. Even solving everyday things like, you know, how do you split resources fairly or plan a schedule efficiently? These fundamental properties are the absolute bedrock for more complex thought.
Definitely. And just as we wrap up, let's quickly clear up a couple of those common little misunderstandings people sometimes have.
Good idea.
Like zero. We still hear people say it's neither even nor odd. But, yeah, as we established, if you stick to the definition, exactly divisible by 2, 0 is absolutely positively even.
Crucial detail. Don't forget zero. And another one, prime numbers. Most primes are odd, that's true. But don't forget about the number 2.
Ah, the odd one out. Or the even one out, I guess.
Exactly. 2 is the only even prime number. It's unique. Worth remembering.
And also, remember when you're adding multiple numbers, the final parity isn't always obvious just by looking.
Right.
You got to apply those rules step by step. Like even plus odd
will end up being odd.
Right. You just follow the steps consistently using those core principles we talk about.
Absolutely. So maybe the next time you happen to look at a sunflower or you're just thinking about how to divide something up fairly, take a moment. Remember these ancient, enduring patterns hidden inside numbers.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, what other hidden rules might numbers be revealing about the world all around us, just waiting for us to notice and, you know, discover?